Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Gate City Bank Field here at the Fargo Dome. North Dakota State has won a 21st consecutive playoff game as they defeat the University of San Diego 45-7 on to the quarterfinals for a seventh straight year. Along with Mike McFeely, Big E, Eric Peterson, and Jeff Kolpak, I'm Dom Izzo. I don't know what we were going to expect out of San Diego. I think a lot of us were in that same boat. And this was a San Diego team I thought that was way more competitive than I gave them credit for. They played well. But boy, Jeff, the Bison defense turned this game around early on an MJ Stump pick six.
They were no Valparaiso, certainly, last time we saw a Pioneer team. Much different. But MJ Stump, think about this. Two of the starting three linebackers are out now for this game. Pierre G. Tucker may come back next week. Of course, Nick DeLuca is out for the season. He's kind of the lone wolf carrying the torch right now, I think. And he's really developed and turned into that guy who is just the tough guy in the middle. I mean, he plays on the outside, but he can really stick it to you. And he really made the play of the game, I thought, right away.
Big E, Easton Stick for the second straight game throws three touchdown passes. He runs for 99 yards. If he's going at that clip, the Bison are unbeatable in my mind.
I thought he was very good early with accuracy with passes. He hit Ilias on a downfield pass. He had a possible touchdown that went off Ilias' hands early. But the other thing we talked about, he's going to be unleashed in the run game. He had four big runs. When you add that element, when teams stack the box, he's going to give you that home run element either with his arm, if he can stay accurate, and with his feet because he can get outside. And I guess he did get caught on that one. Some people gave him a hard time, but he's still pretty explosive.
I thought, though, Mike, the interesting part, the nugget of the press conference to me is Chris Kleiman revealed that Stick had had a bad back for the middle part of the season, and it may have affected his throwing, which certainly would have, I guess, clued us in on why he was struggling in the passing game in the latter half of the season.
Yeah, that would explain it, and he's been sharp the last couple of games. He was on the money. Like Eric said, he should have had a touchdown pass early in the game today. He was on the money. San Diego kind of chose its poison today. They tried to stop the run. You know, it ended up being 45-7, which is not surprising. I think it's just the way it got to be 45-7 with the big plays. Bruce Anderson, big run in garbage time, but boy, it looks like his leg is not hurting very much after getting injured against South Dakota State. So the Bison are set up. They're final eight. They got the home game against the team they say they want to play.
299 rushing yards, going back to the infamous 217 against UNI, the rushing attack and the offensive line has just been out of this world over the last month and a half.
And over 200 yards against teams who are gearing to stop it, too, which is really impressive. I thought King Frazier got the tough yards, and then Lance Dunn's shown some explosiveness. Yep. But when you add Stick to that run game, he had 99 yards rushing today on just four attempts. That just adds a whole different element. And now you're not afraid to use it in postseason, right?
Exactly right. The wheel route, Big E, came back and came back in big-time fashion with two touchdowns to Chase Morlock. I go back to the season opener in 2015 in Missoula where Carson Wentz hits Morlock. We haven't seen it a whole lot, or at least it hasn't worked in the Missouri Valley season. It worked big today.
I know you got to set up, but they should just run that play every time because it's open. But Chase Morlock brought up in the post game. The Missouri Valley Football Conference teams have seen it. So it was kind of like the middle screen there for a couple years. Yep. You work it works for a while, and then when teams get familiar with you, they keep an eye out for it. No, San Diego's a new opponent, maybe not as tuned in on that. So it worked for them twice today. And, I mean, they had nine guys like near the line of scrimmage for most of the game. So San Diego is like, we're going to stack the box, and if you're going to try to run up the middle, good luck. And the thing is, though, once you break through that initial shell or there's a play action, you can get beat for some big plays, and that's what eventually ended up happening as the game wore on.
Well, as Michael mentioned, South Dakota State hung on, got a field goal late from Chase Vinatieri to beat Villanova 10-7. So here we go. It's every other year that the Jacks and the Bison play in the postseason again, 2012, 2014, and 2016. This is obviously a little bit different, Mike, since the Jacks were the last team, the only team, to beat NDSU this season, and we get a rematch here in a week.
You know, when we were talking about this before the game, but this is the first time South Dakota State has ever made the quarterfinals in the FCS playoffs. Yep. They've had some good teams, you know, back when the Bison were at their peak in 2013, 2014. I guess they're still peaking, but this is the first time the Jacks have made the quarterfinals. They go through Fargo again, which I suspect if you ask South Dakota State, they're looking forward to come up and trying to end this dynasty that North Dakota State has. And we asked Trey Dempsey and Chase Morlock in the post game, what do they think about playing South Dakota State? And neither one of them said anything, but hey, you know, kind of bring it on. Yeah. Not those exact words, but hey, we got to play them at some point. And so let's see how we do next Saturday.
Well, if you're a player, you want to get back at the team that beat you, wouldn't you? Just natural.
Well, it seems fitting as well, Jeff, that if anyone is going to end this, it would be South Dakota State, who has had its season ended here twice over, including in that far end zone a couple years ago by R.J. Zandowski. I'm just saying that it would be. Anybody would be fitting.
Don't flip flop.
I did not pick anybody.
Don't flip flop.
I'm just saying it would be fitting if anybody would have beat him.
What I wonder is when they prepare this week. week. These teams, they've seen each other so much right. that it just must be, okay, here we go again. Here's the Bison offense. Like, I don't even know if they need those flip cards anymore to repair.
I will wonder, though, how they stopped Dallas Goedert, because he was unstoppable in round one, Big E.
I don't think you stop him. I think you contain him. Maybe you double him a little bit. Maybe you, if you're the Bison, you try to keep your safeties back and try to contain the run with your front seven.
Right.
But, you know, Mangarelli has shown some ability to run if you give him some lanes. It's just, it's going to be holding him out of the end zone. They did a good job of that the first time they played. The problem was, I don't think NDSU's offense, you have to score points on that SDSU defense. Yeah. If you're going to win, you got to score 24 to 28 points on that SDSU defense, and that might not be enough if the Jacks offense is clicking.
So meanwhile,
here's the question, though. Excuse me, Doc. Yeah. The last time Stiglmeier pulled out everything to try right. to win that football game, and why not do it again? I mean, or
can you do that again in a playoff game?
Will the Jacks game? Have something else they try? Will the Bison try something yeah. else?
If they will they go for game? It on fourth down every time?
Right.
I mean, if you're the Jackrabbits, why not?
Yeah,
I mean,
it worked.
Nobody's beaten these guys in 5 years.
Right.
And you get the feeling that if North Dakota State can get past the Jackrabbits, they have another nice chance to get back to Frisco. So you got to pull out the kitchen sink.
I look back too.
Who's going to throw the kitchen sink first? That's what I'm going to. You know, is SDSU going to?
Who's going to go for it first time? Yeah.
That's not in the Bison's MO. Though.
No,
that's not.
I look back, Jeff, 2014 when Zenner was in the Wildcat, and NDSU had never seen that, and that was the first time he was able to get off and have a big game. Was that playoff game a couple years ago?
And I'm sure that was something done over the summer
right.
or something like that. And they withheld the Christian quarterback run
right.
draw until they played him this year. So I don't know what else you can throw at them. I'm sure that they'll spend this week doing that. I think you're right. I think you got to throw everything and anything.
Dallas Goedert, Wildcat, all day long next Saturday.
You called it.
And you know, the big thing is Pierre G. Tucker's health.
Yes.
In a game like that, you have Stumpf, you have Pierre G. Tucker, you have two guys then who can maybe split the coverage duties on Goedert. If Tucker's not ready to go or not 100%, that puts a lot of pressure on Stumpf to play a huge game.
Youngstown State wins again as they take care of Jacksonville State. I don't think any of us were surprised that the Penguins won, but they won in dominating fashion at Jacksonville State. Sam Houston had a claw bye to get by Chattanooga, and James Madison just decimated New Hampshire. So we have a quarterfinal matchup with JMU hosting Sam Houston State. We don't know, as we're taping this, the time or the date of that one, but that sets up to be a great game.
I think all the heavyweights are really starting to meet in the final eight. There's really no surprises.
Youngstown got red hot. It's just, Mike, it's odd because we saw Youngstown here. They looked disjointed, disorganized, a team that maybe its season was on the brink. And then since then, Bo Pelini promised it. The offense is there.
But you know what, though? Today, though, they went deep. Youngstown State passed for an ungodly amount of yardage when we didn't think they could have a quarterback to do that.
They could do it.
But so clearly, they can coach in Youngstown, and that makes a difference when you can see things on film and take advantage of weaknesses in other teams.
They're scary right now.
Hunter Wells had 10 completions for 290 yards. If my math is correct, that's 29 yards per completion. If you do that, you're going to win a lot of games. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Climax math. Yeah.
Now, Youngstown would play either the Citadel or Wofford, whoever wins that slobberknocker of a game with 3 passing yards, and you look at it, Citadel plays pretty good defense. They run the ball if they end up get through, but so does Youngstown. That sets up to be a great quarterfinal game if that ends up being the case.
Youngstown has the defense. I mean, you got backs like Jody Webb and Martin Ruiz. If Wells can give them any sort of a passing game, which he did today, they're a very dangerous team because their defense stacks up with almost any in the country right now.
A quick note on the Valley as we wrap it up here. Gets 3 out of the final 8. That's really impressive.
And almost at Illinois State. If Illinois State wouldn't have kicked it away down at Central Arkansas and have a chance today, it's, I think, a tribute to the league is probably still on top, but you have to give it to her, right?
No doubt about that. North Dakota State, South Dakota State, we've got a week to talk about it. It should be fun after the Bison take care of San Diego here in the second round. For Mike McFeely, Eric Peterson, and Jeff Kolpak, I'm Dom Izzo. The Bison into the quarterfinals. We'll see you guys next week.